Hey, you, yeah, you. Why don't you come take an adventure with me? Let's go shred some dirt.
Well, all right. Good morning, Central. How's everybody doing today? Let's be honest. Did anybody need a motion sickness bag after that footage? No? Okay. Maybe some of you. All right. Well, I wanted to share that with you because for me, being out on the single track is one of my good vibes only kind of spots. It's where everything just sort of is right with the world, at least like 98% of the time for me. Every once in a while, it gets a little hairy out there. This morning, hey, there's a few groups of people. One, do I have any back-to-school students in the room? Yeah, they're all like, yeah, that's me. Not super excited because it's beastly hot. Sorry for any of you who don't have air conditioning in your rooms. That's a real thing. That's kind of tough to deal with. But welcome back to school. Like, go out and crush it this year. And then, of course, there's the parents. Don't worry about that. We'll get to that later. There's the parents in the room. And there's another special group that I want to address. Teachers and administrators, are you in the room? You don't need to stand, but would you just thank them? Because they do a Herculean effort all year long. And there's nothing quite like wrangling the beginning of a school year. And then for the parents, man, some of you are probably all over the map, right? You sent your kids back to school, and maybe you're over here, and you're like, hey, I'm doing a little dance party because I sent them all back to school. And it's almost like you just drank a Red Bull because you've got all this extra energy. Don't make too big a deal about it. The door just opened. They're right downstairs in Central Kids, okay? Don't let them know. Others of you are over on this side of the spectrum, and your kids went off to school, and you were like, where's my comfort PJs? Where's my spoon and my little bowl of ice cream, my tub of ice cream, my bucket of ice cream? And you found your favorite show, and you streamed it, and you just sat in all the feels, right? And there's those opposite ends of the spectrum that you're on in the school year, and I just want to share with you, I can relate, okay? I can relate to the parents. Some of you think back to those days when you were sending your kids off to school. This is a crazy season. My wife, Lisa, and I, if you've not met me or had the privilege to meet Lisa, she's by far the better half of our marriage. We have done this in the last 8 days, okay? We sent off our two oldest to separate freshman years at separate schools. We launched our third into a brand new school to her for this year, and we launch our fourth tomorrow into school. And yes, just yesterday was when we sent our second of the oldest, the twins, off to college. I'm not crying, you're crying, okay? So, and we've had those moments where we have been over here of the excitement of dancing, and honestly, it wasn't because we got them out of the house. I mean, maybe a little bit, but mostly it's that we've been waiting for this moment. We've been building, parenting to this moment, right? So I'm praise God that we're in the book of Proverbs right now at this back to school season for us as parents. It's been phenomenal because who doesn't want a little more wisdom as you pull those arrows out and launch them off into the world to impact the world for God's kingdom, right? It's been amazing. It's been encouraging to me. I hope it has been to you too. I'll tell you what, I didn't even know the heart could feel all of those feelings and this like, oh, I'm gonna so miss the everyday moments. The like breakfast conversations with some of them. But that's where we're at. It's fine. I'm gonna make it. I'm totally emotionally stable today. I don't know what you're talking about. So I do wanna share this with you. Trail riding for me is this phenomenal spot It actually is a part of my prayer life, and I love it and enjoy it. And some of you are like, yes, Bitters, it's part of my prayer life too. Like, don't let me die out on the trail if I had to go ride with you. Others of you are looking at this little bike seat right here, and you're like, is that even a seat? Like, that doesn't look like it would bring me closer to Jesus. It looks like it'd be more like a pain in my rear. And to that, I have three words for you. Padded bike shorts. If you know, you know. Few of you are laughing. I don't wear the super, like, well, I do wear the super skin tight, but always with a baggie over the top, right? Because hottest, or modest is the hottest. Where's my Ignite and Fuel students? You've heard me say that a lot. I worked at him just for you guys. And it comes from Proverbs 32, verse 2. No, I'm just messing with you guys. There's no chapter 32 in Proverbs. Brent's up front. He's like, that's not in there. That's from the New Revised Steve version. And we could pray and just walk home now? No, absolutely not. That would not go over well. There is something, though. There's something for me when I'm out on that trail, when I'm in that single track. And there's a couple different things. One is you've got this narrow path that you're called to stay on. The other is there's energy in the trail with its ups and downs and its weaving and ducking. And there's a space where, for me, where I can get into the groove and I harness that energy. It's a kind of like walking out life where you see God is on the move in some spots and he's inviting you into that adventure. And the other is maybe just keeping your eyes up, focusing on where you're headed. Dangerous things happen when you look at the past when you're on the mountain bike trail. And then there's this other piece. There's work. There's my effort that I put into it. And as I'm out there and I'm flowing through the trail on the single track, a few things begin to happen. And maybe for you, again, it wouldn't work for you because your prayer life would be totally focused on don't die. But for me, there's a space where I'm in that moment that there's sanity amongst the trees. And the worries, concerns, the stressors of my life, the places where I'm like, God, do you see what's happening here? Like, you need to break through for me, for my kids, for this family, for what's going on in our community, for what's happening in the world. Like, God, can you just come into this space and do a thing? And it's in the quiet moments for me on the trail that I get to upload that, and then God downloads things to me, some peace, some wisdom. Maybe watching that clip of me on the trails this morning, maybe it did make you motion sick. Maybe it's a reminder for you in the midst of this busy back-to-school season for us as parents to just take a moment and carve out time. Time to do what gives you energy, time to do what allows you to connect with your Creator, to go out, to be reminded of, like, Psalm 121, it says this. It says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, to maybe it's to the sand dunes to the south of the lighthouse. Maybe it's to that sunset on the western horizon where Lake Michigan meets the sky. Or maybe if you're like me, it's the trails of Upper Makatawa. I'm starting to sound like pure Michigan ads. Thank you. But it's in those spaces where we lift our eyes up to those spaces, those pieces of geography that God's created on this earth, and we get to marvel that there's a God who would create something like that to give us a picture of who he is, that we could say, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, to those places. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the God who would make something like that so much because he loves you exactly the way you are, but he loves us too much to leave us this way. Amen? It's a journey that we're on. Now, when Jesus spoke to the people of his day, he used parables or stories, okay? And he would take something that was common to their experience and to their culture, and he would draw something out of that, and then he would make this connection to the kingdom of God. And that's hopefully what I'm going to do this morning. I'm a simple guy. I love stories and analogies. They speak to me. I like experience and getting right into stuff. And so my aim, my goal this morning is, with my simple mind, to just try to point you a little bit further down the road with Jesus. Or maybe to begin to introduce you to the way that he loves you so much. I don't know where you are on your journey, but I know that God loves you deeply. And I know that he's got something for you this morning. So let's take a moment before we go any further, just invite him to do his work. Father, in these next moments, would you inspire us? Would you renew us? Would you shape us to look more and more like your son, Jesus. And may these words this morning be your words. And may our hearts be in tune with you. For your glory, for our good, and especially for the good of those who we bump into in everyday life. May it be so. In Christ's name, amen. So I've thoroughly enjoyed this series that we've been in, this Good Vibes Only series. It's been very helpful for me. If you've missed a Sunday, I would really encourage you to go back and check it out, centralholland.org, and look into those past messages. It could be easy when we look at the book of Proverbs. This Good Vibes Only series has been in the book of Proverbs. And as we look at this entire book of Proverbs, it might be easy to say, hey, this is just some collection of witty or pithy phrases that have a little bit of wisdom to help me get better at living my life. But Proverbs is so much more than that. It encompasses ethics for business deals, guardrails for our youthfulness, guidance for the middle years, encouragement for the aged, wisdom for friendships, dating, marriage, relationships that are in tension. It even speaks to what we do and what we chase after in our free time and our margins. Proverbs 9 is where we're going to start out in Scripture. Proverbs 9, 1, 6. If you got your Bible, follow along. If not, it again will be on the screen. Proverbs 9 says this: wisdom has built her house. She has set up seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point of the city. And I love this next part. It says, let all who are simple come to my house. That's me. I'm just a simple guy. I got an invitation. Wisdom beckons me and you to come in and to listen and to absorb and apply. To those who have no sense. Again, that's me. I've been accused of that at times. Wisdom, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. The opportunity here is through the Holy Spirit and through Scripture to actually know God, to be in relationship with Him. The wisdom of the Lord is personified as a woman who sets this feast up and invites us to come and to sit at the table and to enjoy. Do you remember last week, for those of you who are here, and again, like I said, if you weren't, go back and check this out. Pastor Lynn was talking about listening to that voice of his greatest critic. And he was like, if I can just satisfy the voice of my greatest critic, and if I can just do everything to silence them, then I'll know I'm living the good and right life. And he talks about that lightning bolt moment where he transitioned from that over to listening to the voice of his greatest cheerleader. And I'm here to tell you that cheerleader is not at some cosmic distance a long ways off from you, but that cheerleader is inviting you in, not just saying, go, go, you can do it, but come, sit with me, be refreshed and refueled and refilled for the journey that's ahead of you. So the call of the book of Proverbs is an invitation to know the very heart of God. It's not just about information and it's not just about behavior modification. It's to know the very heart of God. I remember sitting, it's been a while now, but I was sitting across the table from my grandpa, and I'm looking at him with way less hair than I have and thinking, you have lived a lot of life. And I was like, Grandpa, can you just tell me, like, how did you know who to marry? How did you know how to make the right decisions in your business deals? How did you know in each and every decision? And he said, Steve, a lot of people are, they seek that specific word of Scripture for a decision they're in and this lightning bolt from God. And he said, I found in my life, it just doesn't work that way very often. And he said to me, Steve, what it is he said, I've sought to know the heart of God through Scripture. And I was like, oh my word, yeah. And he said, and so when I come to a decision, I just say, Lord, open the door. If you want me to walk through it, I'm going to walk through it. And then I walk until God says no or closes that door. And he says, and I just look at all that I've learned and all that I know, and not at a knowledge base, but at a relationship base. What do I know of the heart of the Father? And does this decision match up with his heart? And is the way I make this decision going to match up with his heart for the people that are involved in the decision? That's what Proverbs is drawing us into. to know the very heart of God and to live out in that way. To know God's heart and his way for our life is a prime opportunity for us. Psalm 16:11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." We refer to life so often as a journey, as a path, as a way to go. And we get that. That makes sense to us. But honestly, do we live that way? I can tell you, I did not grow up that way. I didn't get it. I didn't understand that what I was doing in the moment was going to become the past that would go with me into the future. I lived in a different way. Now, let's take some help from the ladder here, because you're like, why is there a ladder on stage? Or maybe some of you are, not wondering. Here you go. Wondering or not. So I don't know if it was ingrained in me through my Reformed church upbringing, which I'm grateful for growing up in a church. I don't know if it was just something I absorbed from culture, but this is what I knew to be true. If you were a Christian, your number one priority was your faith. That was the very first most important thing in your life, okay? And then that, once you got that priority straight and right, then you move on to family, and your family gets the next best of your energy, okay? And then you would check the next box in life, and your friends, right? You got to get those friends involved in life, do some things, and then work takes money to raise kids, launch kids off into college, right, parents? Somebody give me an amen on that. And then if you got some money and some time left over, you're going to move into recreation. What are the things that make you come alive, that you really enjoy, right? Living for the weekend. And then if you've got some quarters left over after that, maybe you start to think about the 401k. And I absorbed this way of life that said, Jesus is the number one priority, and then family, and then and that makes some sense, doesn't it? Like, we get that. Here's the problem, if I may, the danger in this. Is that I can, where are my morning people at? Give Jesus my morning time with my cup of coffee, and I got my Bible open. There's a few morning people, thank you. I like the interaction. And you give them those moments in the morning. Where are my noontime people? Anybody on their lunch break? They're like, I'm at work or whatever, and I dive into the Word. Any night owls this hour? Yes, first hour it was crickets when I asked if there were night owls. It was hilarious. I was anticipating you all being here this hour. So maybe you're like me and you're a night owl and that's your best energy is later in the day. And so you give Jesus those moments at night. And this is good and important, and give him those moments. But then here's the danger. On a Saturday morning, right, you've got that list of things to do. And you're going through and you're checking the boxes. And I got, okay, the lawn is done. We got the garage cleaned up. We got the cars washed. And you just move through that. And when you're washing the car, you're not thinking about how did mowing the lawn impact my car washing? You just check the box and move on. And I think there's a danger in this kind of, if I may, this West Michigan Christianity thing, where we make Jesus the number one priority, and we give him that one moment because it's the best of the day, and we check the box and we just move on. Maybe it's just me. Maybe that's just me. When our life becomes a checklist, the danger is that I move my energy here and I'm trying to appease, like, okay, when a problem pops up here or an issue pops up here or my boss needs this and I'm doing all of the things and I'm trying to appease and live for the approval of all these people. And if I'm doing really well, like maybe here and here, I'm going to post that on social media and then I'll get a whole bunch of likes and then I'll really know I'm kicking butt in life and I'm winning and I'm doing the things right, right? Like, we do that and we seek that approval. And I want to tell you something this morning. That's a dangerous spot to live. It's a dangerous spot to live. Jesus holds not just my life, but my eternity in his hands. This Jesus rose from the grave. Death could not hold him. Oh, come on, church. I said Jesus rose from the grave and death could not hold him. Come on. Second hour, you guys are awake. Come on with me, all right? My faith, our faith is anchored in an event that actually happened. Think of it this way, all right? James, Jesus' brother, sees Jesus after he's come up out of the grave, and he goes, "Mama, there goes that man." For my NBA fans, Mark Jackson quote right there for you, okay? Some of you got that one. James, he literally was like, "That's my brother that just got up out of the grave. Like, we did chores together. We elbowed each other. We fought over who got the center line in the..." No, they didn't fight about the center line in the car. That was me and my brother. But what would it take for those of you who have siblings to look at your sibling in the eye and go, "Son of God, Savior, Messiah"? Tough stretch. And yet James... Some of you have way too big a smile when I said that. James looks at Jesus and he says, "You got up out of the grave. I'm going to live for you. And I'm actually going to give my life for you." It's an event that happened. Jesus was not just a box to check for James. Maybe you've come in here this morning and you're looking for some hope. You're looking for some hope because the political party isn't enough, the job isn't enough, the 401k just isn't growing fast enough, it's not enough. Maybe student, maybe athlete, you got that spot on the team last year and then that season got cut short. It was that thing that was gonna give you the meaning and purpose that you were longing for, and it got taken from you. And then you thought, "Well, this year it'll be different. This is a new year, we got a new opportunity," and then all of a sudden things start kind of literally exploding in the world around us. And all of a sudden the news media starts ramping up and the story starts sounding similar like last year, and all these precautions coming at us around school, and it feels like deja vu again. And you need some hope this morning. So I'm gonna point you to Jesus because he's transformed my life and I know he wants to transform yours too. Maybe it's you as a parent. And it was all those things you wanted for your kid or your grandparents, and you were hoping for something different for your grandkids. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "Our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we now see will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." See, when we lose perspective on eternity, we do. We fall into this checklist living. And it kind of makes sense. And we may put Jesus at the top, but he's still just a box that gets checked. But if we get back to Paul's words, Paul didn't say... He said, "Don't look at the troubles that we can see, but rather fix our eyes on Jesus, the one that cannot be seen." And I want to define that word gaze, to set our gaze on something. Here's what it is. It's to look steadily and intently, especially in admiration, surprise, or thought. And a lot of us are running around kind of frantic and chaotic, and this thing's popping up in this part of life or this part of life and this part of life, and we're looking at them and we're fixing our eyes on that thing that it's, "Oh, and then I'm here, and then I'm here," and our eyes are just so fixated, and we're studying, and we're surprised by the stuff that's happening. And so it's grabbing our attention and our focus, and then all of a sudden we're like, "I'll just quick glance at Jesus," and then we're right back into gazing, setting our intent look and our vision on those things. And Paul's saying, "No, Steve, no, Central, you're walking that out backwards. Set your eyes intently on Jesus, and then glance around at the things of the world." I don't know if you caught it in the video at the beginning. Some of you may have been like, "Ah," all right? But there's this part about three quarters of the way through where the music cut out and you heard the squeal of my brakes and those arrows pointing at this small tree no bigger than my wrist. But I came around a corner out at Upper Mac and I was like, "Tree." And all of a sudden I was like, "Tree." And my bike was going right at the tree because I was looking at it. I think Paul was a mountain biker. I do. I don't know if he did. Maybe he was a mountain donkey rider and it was a really slow speed downhill descent. I'm not sure. But he got this. That where your eyes go, you go. When my eyes go this way, I go this way on the bike. If my eyes are this way, I go this way on the bike. Drivers, training instructors, students in driver's training, all of us who've gone through driver's training, we go where our eyes go. Where are your eyes this morning? What are you fixing your vision on? Paul said to fix our eyes on Jesus, not to fixate on the struggles. Paul said that, let me just share this with you. Paul's not saying this from the air-conditioned confines of a large auditorium. He doesn't say it flippantly from a posh resort. Paul is talking from brutal experiences of giving up wealth, power for a transient life without an earthly home or significant possessions. Paul was badgered, questioned. He dealt with discord in relationships. He was beaten. He was thrown out of cities. He was imprisoned, shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked while he was imprisoned. And he says, this stuff is light and momentary. Because his eyes, his gaze is fixed on Jesus. And as I was getting ready for this morning, I couldn't help but think, Jesus, I want to live a life that's worthy of these words that Paul wrote. Church, I want us to live a life that's worthy of our brothers and sisters who are on the other side of the world, not launching their kids off to college and having a little bit of the feels because their kids are living somewhere else for a little bit, but Christian brothers and sisters who are losing their children at gunpoint, who, like James, are living for Jesus and giving their life for Jesus. Church, we need to rise and live lives worthy of our brothers and sisters, worthy of the high calling, worthy of the God who loves us just the way we are, but too much to leave us this way. So I'm going to turn the corner here, and we're going to get back to the bike. So last summer, this is the part, this analogy that I hope is helpful and really encouraging to you this morning. We're going to leave the check boxes behind. Last year, I was out at Upper Mac having a great time. It was actually on my son's birthday, and just squeezing in a ride early in the morning. And the trail was just kind of perfect. It was just perfect. Grippy, fast, no mud holes, not super sandy. And I got done with my first lap, and I'm kind of weird. I timed myself, and I raced myself, and I was like, that was a really good time. That was only 30 seconds. It's like a 30-minute, 32-minute ride, and I was like, I was only 30 seconds off my first best. I can shave 30 more seconds off. There's no problem. So I take a little breather, hydrate, and then I jump back on the bike, and I'm heading down, and you kind of curve off into the trail, and there's a spot 10 to 12 seconds into the trail where you come down over a root, and it's about an 18-inch drop. There's two ways to do that. One is you go slow, front tire down, and then you go. The second is to just full send it, and you just go kind of like parallel to the ground, airborne, and then you hit and immediately duck left. And you must immediately duck left or you ravine, and ravine is not good or happy. So there's poison ivy in the ravine along with many trees. So I'm here in that spot, and I hit and I launch, and there's two humans coming from the left. Yeah, two humans coming from the left. Two dogs attached to said humans, and which is not a big deal, really, except the trail's only this wide. I'm about that wide. So I'm in the air, and you know those moments, have you ever had one? Maybe you were in a car or like the baseball's flying at you, and everything slows down. But it's really going actually really fast. So in that moment, I'm like, oh, two people, leashes, dogs. I like dogs, don't want to kill dogs, don't want to hurt dogs, I like myself, don't want to die. All these things are going through my head, and I'm like, oh, get low, hit the brakes. So I get super low, hit the brakes, and it was too much. It was too much. Does anyone know what happens if you don't get low enough and you are going too fast on a bike? Yes, thank you very much. So over the handlebars I go, and I'm actually at that moment where I'm looking backwards up the trail to where I've been. It's not a happy feeling, fun thoughts not going through the head. And then all of a sudden I think, oh, I'm actually clipped into the pedals of my bike. I have these shoes that clip in. I'm like, the bike's gonna... So I quick unclip, toss the bike, and then I went, oh, those people, right? Like, it's all going through my mind. And then I was like, oh, don't kill the dogs either. Who cares? Never mind. Because their leashes were crisscrossed. So as the guy went this way and his wife went that way, the dogs went opposite. So like nothing cleared the path. I still, to this moment, I assume I didn't hurt the dogs because they were kind of running around. And there's this moment when if you ride a bike or you ride a motorcycle, preferably this doesn't happen on motorcycles because it's usually a bigger deal. But there's a moment on a bike where when you crash, you have a comment, a question that comes into your head. And it's not, am I okay? And right now, some of you are like, I remember Corey's message. He said, take it off. Is this the same thing again? This is the question that goes through your head. Some of y'all just went like this. It was great. The question is my bike okay? Because I'm still conscious. I don't care. Like, I'm fine. Is my bike okay? This morning, is your bike okay? Physically, to be able to have this wonderful t-shirt and this amazing reminder, there were a couple things. One, I had to go over the handlebars. Two, I had to go to the emergency room. Three, it's a 4-digit entry fee, right? Half the people that rode with me last summer ended up in this same club. It was fun. We were just exchanging shirts. Anybody want to ride after church? No? Okay. So let's get on with this whole deal, right? So God downloaded this to me. And this is what I'm so excited to share with you. These things that we maybe lived as priorities, as check boxes, they're not priorities that we move from one to the next. They're spokes of the wheel of our life. And it's a spot where well, maybe we were searching for meaning or purpose in these spokes. Maybe you built your life on one of these spokes. Like, if I just had more friends, or if my friendships were just stronger and better, like life would be better. Or if I could just cop that right pair of Jordans when they drop. Oh, I broke that one. Never mind. Not the spoke. Don't worry. The spoke didn't break. But if I could just get the right stuff, if I could possess the right things, that swag, that gear, if I had the right car, for some of you, it's that recreation thing. If I just had the recreation. These are all spokes on the wheel of our life. And can I just mess with us for a little bit? Some of you are like, no, faith. Like, that's not just a spoke, is it? Yeah, for me, I think it is a spoke. Here's why. There's a story in the Bible. Jesus looks at the followers and he says, you have little faith. There's a whole message there of what I think was really happening going on. He says, you have little faith. And then there's another part in Scripture where he says, because of your great faith, this thing has happened. And so if faith can be both small and big, it's not static, it's moving, it's fluid. I don't want to build my life on something that's fluid. I don't know about you. And so faith, I believe when our theology is right, faith is a spoke in the wheel, in the adventure of our life. And then this last one that I'm going to pin up for this morning is hopes and dreams. And I want to say a little bit about that. A lot of time when we think about our hopes and dreams, we're thinking about where am I going to get? What's that next achievement, that goal, that thing, that place that if I get there, it's going to fill me up and I'll be satisfied. For some of us, we're sitting here this morning and we missed a goal. And now we're looking at the generation we're raising saying, if they can just hit that goal I missed, then, and you're actually pushing your dreams onto them. Can I just say that the invitation of Proverbs is to set that to the side. It's not as important where we're headed. But Proverbs is saying, who are you becoming on the journey? Who are you going to be? That's the wisdom of Proverbs. And so here, on the wheel of our life, Jesus doesn't want to be that central, Jesus doesn't want to be that first priority in our life. Rather, he's inviting us to allow him to be this central hub that holds all of these spokes together and strengthens each of our spokes of our life. I'll take it a step farther for you. I brought a hub with me, and I've got a spoke. Here's the danger. When you do the checklist living, or when you place your meaning, you're looking for meaning and purpose and your fulfillment in any one of these spokes, I've got just one spoke right here. It's pretty small. And it actually bends very easily on its own. And Jesus was saying to me, Steve, what? You've built your life on some spokes. Make me the central hub. I don't know about you, but when the spokes of my life get bent out of shape, sometimes I get bent out of shape. Maybe that's just me. But when we take a spoke, maybe you're not a biker, maybe you are. If you're not, this is something that's really beautiful about this analogy, is you actually weave spokes together onto the hub. There's all these little holes, and each spoke has its spot in its place. And then it ends with this tab that's woven directly into the hub, actually holds it together. So as you think about this, all of these spokes crisscrossing, strengthening each other because they're strengthened by the hub. And so Jesus, in the book of Proverbs, is saying, I have wisdom for you to strengthen every spoke of your life. The wheel is only as good as the hub. And it transfers that strength to where the rubber meets the road. Or for me, where it meets the dirt or the clay. So this morning, central, is your bike okay? Every spoke needs that power that comes from Jesus when he is the central hub of our lives. Every spoke gets strengthened because it's interconnected with the power of Holy Spirit. So yes, set aside, as we talked about when I was over there by the ladder, set aside that quiet time. Give Jesus those moments, absolutely. Drink your coffee, do your devos whenever you want, have that moment. But central, Jesus is beckoning us, inviting us into something that's even bigger, more adventurous, and frankly, maybe more dangerous to the status quo. He's inviting you to learn what it is to have him strengthen every spoke, to learn what it is to pray without ceasing, to not just put Jesus in a checkbox, but to allow his wisdom to influence the decisions you make within your family, within your friend groups, within those work environments, because without Jesus, you may make some decisions to chase money that are outside of the scope of where he wants us to be. When we roll through life with Jesus as the hub that delivers power to every spoke, our life is empowered in a very unique and special way. And we can say these words along with Paul, where Paul says he presses on. It's Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, when our vision is fixed intently on Jesus and not the mess and not the brokenness and the stressors, sure, yes, we need to glance at those things, but when our vision is on him, then life becomes a grand adventure. But some of us are waking up and you're literally pulling that phone off the nightstand and you're fixing, you're intently looking, you're studying the feed that's on your phone. First thing in the morning, literally down scrolling yourselves into depression. I don't say that lightly, because depression's a real thing, and I get it. There's a space for medication, for strong Christian counseling. I've had my own journey along with depression after my mom passed where I needed help. That's a real thing. But there are also these moments where we're just taking the news feeds, we're taking that input, and it is depressing our souls. But with our eyes fixed on Jesus, like Paul, we can say, I pressed on, because where our eyes go, we go. You see it on the screen, right? It's all the same letters, depression and I pressed on. I have no idea if it works that way in Hebrew or not. It just does in English. The difference is the perspective. The difference is the perspective. The life of wisdom that Proverbs calls us to is not just a life, is not just to be better at life for me, but to be better at life for the sake of others. You and I, we're called to live a life of blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now, I can spend my time in those checkboxes, right? Looking to have all those people approve and draw something out of it. But here's the reality. Instead of looking at the checklist and being the one who's loved by all, because that's never going to happen, I need to know that I'm loved by the one so that we can go, I can go and love all. So how are you entering into life? Here at Central, we believe that our faith in Jesus Christ, yes, it is a personal faith in Jesus Christ. We talk a lot about that, but it is not to be a private faith. It is to be a personal public faith. We talk a lot about that around baptism, and we're going to spend just a little bit of time this morning talking about that. We are called to live a public life. Would you listen to our friend Alex? He's going to share with you just a little bit about what it was like for him to come to this understanding that he was called to live a public life for Jesus.
I like feeling like I'm just changing someone's life. To fill the role of mentor in students' lives has grown my faith a lot.
To be able to see the way that the Lord moves in all the students, and just to be able to see like God working firsthand is so cool.
About 7 years ago, he said, hey, have you ever thought about middle school ministry? And my short answer was, no, I have never thought about middle school ministry. Frankly, high school and middle schoolers scared me. And when my kids were in middle school, I didn't enjoy being around their friends and so on. So my short answer to him was no. But he said the question that everybody dreads, well, will you pray about it? I said, sure, I'll pray about it. Sure enough, I prayed about it and I felt God telling me, no, this is something that you need to do. This is a step of faith for you. I said, sure, I'm in, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not qualified. I don't know the Bible well enough. I can't teach. I can't do these things. He said, nope, don't worry about it. I just need you to show up. And they paired me with a group of sixth graders, and it was just such an amazing experience. And those boys now are just graduated this year. And so I've been doing this for 7 years now, and it's just such an incredible experience to get to pour into students, to get to develop relationships, to get to share your faith in a real way. Being a leader in Ignite has really challenged me on many different levels, because it's caused me to say, how much do I really believe? If I'm standing here in front of these kids, talking, going through small group questions, sharing stories of my own life, it really caused me to say, well, do I believe this enough that I'm willing to share and kind of put it out there? And one of the neatest events that I had the opportunity to be a part of is in 2018 in St. Louis, we were on a missions trip. And it was the last day of Backyard Bible Club, which the kids got to play with these kids, and it was supposed to rain. And I see these three young ladies sitting in the lounge, and I said, ladies, come on, we got to get going. And they were really bummed out, and I asked them, what's going on? And they said, well, we're really upset that we're not going to get to see the kids we've been, you know, bonding with for these last 3 days. And without even thinking, I said, well, let's pray about it that it doesn't rain. And the moment I said that, I thought, oh my goodness, like, I've just kind of put that out there, and what if we pray, and what if it does rain? And And I had to have that moment where I had to believe it. And so sure enough, we prayed, went downstairs and pulled everybody out of the vans, and we all held hands as a group, 40-some-odd middle schoolers, and we prayed and got in the vans, did the backyard Bible clubs. The instant the last van door closed, it starts pouring rain. And it was such a neat thing to see God work in such a clear way that, for me, I can look at this and go, 20 years from now, I'm going to remember that experience. But what's exciting is, for those young men and young women that experienced that when they were 12, 13, 14 years old, when they're 30 and struggling with what they're struggling with, they can go back and say, hey, God showed up that day. He can show up again for this problem or whatever I'm dealing with, because it's the same God that we serve. I will tell you from experience, as one who was afraid to do this, that you will get more out of this than you put into it. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be the greatest parent in the world. You don't have to know kids. You don't have to be cool. You don't have to wear cool shirts. But what you have to do is just be present. And what God calls us to do is to be His hands and feet. And this is an amazing opportunity to do just that for people that really need somebody. And so I would encourage you to take that step and go out of your comfort zone and look for the ways that God wants you to serve and the impact that He wants you to make on kids' lives.
Man, I love that. Alex courageously stepped into that space that, frankly, he was a little scared of. And he realized that God wanted more for him than he wanted from him in that space. So this morning, I don't know how you came in today. Maybe a little weary, maybe a little worn out, maybe just frustrated. Maybe you're rocking it and you're just killing it at life. I'm not sure. But if you're in that space where you're just like, I just need some refreshing. Can I remind you, a few weeks ago, Pastor Craig put us into Proverbs 11:25. Says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And so this morning, maybe it's time for you to just sit with God and to say, God, what is it that you've put into me? What passions have you given me? What skills have you given me that you're going to use in some leadership role? Because as central as we move into this fall season, we have so many leadership opportunities. And those leadership opportunities are from our youngest generation downstairs in the nursery, all the way up through children's, students, young adults, into small groups. We have opportunities for leadership, like cutting wood for sets and painting sets, running cameras, hosting at the front doors. What does it look like for you to do a couple things? To just say, is my bike okay? Like, I get it, in these quiet moments as we end our time together, maybe your next step is to kind of say, God, like, I did a thing. Like, I've moved out of the checkbox. Jesus, I get it that you're more than a checkbox, but I actually took one of these spokes and I made it central in my life. I made it the hub. And I was trying to find my purpose in meeting in that thing, and I'm bent out of shape. Holy Spirit, would you come and do some healing in my life? Strengthen these spokes of my life so I can get back to this adventurous living. A living with eyes that are set intently on Jesus and have the span of eternity in mind as we make our decisions. So Proverbs invites you to know the very heart of God. Part of knowing the heart of God is knowing that He has called us not just to this private kind of personal relationship with Him, but very much so into a public personal relationship with Him. So if you're here this morning and you're just like, Spitters, I don't really know a whole lot about this Jesus yet. I'm just here to kind of like, my friend invited me and they seem cool and I just wanted to know what was up with Jesus. We have a place for you to come, to get connected in community, to experience more of who Jesus is. And maybe you've been doing this walking with Jesus thing for like 80 years. We have a place for you to come, to bring your leadership skill set and the things that God has given you. And it's an invitation to come and do this thing in community, because God wants more for you than from you. And we get to experience that in powerful and adventurous ways together when we do that out in community. and when we give of ourselves. So Central, in these next moments, pray. Do business with God. Listen to His Spirit. And then when you're ready, join us in declaring our worship to the one who loves us just the way we are, but too much to leave us this way.